Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Oh, Adonai, Adonai, we worship you, Adonai, 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 we worship you, Adonai, sing Adonai, Adonai. Adonai,
Adonai,
we worship you, Lord.
We worship
Adonai,
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 we worship you, Lord.
We worship you,
Adonai,
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 we worship you, Lord.
We worship you,
Adonai,
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 we worship you, Lord.
We worship you
one more time.
Adonai,
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 we worship you, Lord.
We worship you, Adonai.
You are Adonai, Adonai, we worship you, Adonai. You are
Adonai,
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 we worship you, Lord.
We worship you
from the depths of our heart.
Adonai,
oh, Adonai,
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 we worship you, Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Adonai,
Adonai,
everybody say Adonai,
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 we worship you, Lord.
We worship you,
and Elohim, Elohim, Adonai.
Elohim,
Elohim, Madonna. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Libro Shabaka Bashula Bragababo Shara Baba Shepa Kaparato Shabragaria Kababu Shara to chant like this when we're growing up. When words fail us, Lord, we thank you for your presence. Thank you because we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the Lord. We are coming to an innumerable multitude of angels where the spirit of just men are made perfect. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, choir. Alright, so we started something on Tuesday and I still feel like I should expound on it. Meanwhile, I came to church and I'm surprised, you know, how that everything is just working for what the Holy Spirit wants to do today. Even from the drama to the ministration. Somehow within the teaching tonight, the Lord wants me to talk about faith. in some measure. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're talking about spiritual warfare on Tuesday. You know, and God helped us really expound to a very fair measure. So let's start today with Ephesians 6 from 10. Ephesians 6 from verse 10. Can we read together? One, two, go. Everything is working together for good, like I said. If you look at this scripture now, you may think it has no connection with what we're about to say. Maybe we'll read the next part of scriptures. Next part of scripture, 11. One, two, go. Put on the wool. Alright, so it goes on and explains the armor, isn't it? The shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandal of peace, the sword of the spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, and etc. The belt of truth. Hallelujah to Jesus. It goes down to explain everything about the full armor of God that God is intending us to put on. But if you look at verse 10 again, it says, finally, brethren, be what? So Paul is kind of trying to conclude something he had been saying, isn't it? He said, finally, brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then, of course, there's a connection. He goes further to explain what he means. He's trying to use physical stuffs in their present days to explain it. That if I say be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, I also mean, what I'm trying to say is that it should be like a military man putting on his full armor. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Putting on his what? Full armor. Look at what he says in verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God. In other words, if you must be strong in the Lord, there is something you have to be conscious about that the Lord has already given you. If you don't know what God has given you, you cannot be strong in God. You must be aware of his strength that is already at work in you. You know, for instance, the Bible says this. It said, unto him in Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says, unto him, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we have ever what? Thought or imagined. The Bible said, but that can only happen according to his what? Power. Where is that power? At work in us. So you see that God has a lot of energy. But he can only use that energy through us. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? A lot of power. And he designed it that in life he's going to use his power through man. So, are you aware that all of you seated here carry the whole power of God in heaven and on earth on your inside? Are you aware that all of God's power is in you? That if he will want to do something on the earth, he will do it through you. That's what he says. Let's read together. Now unto him that is able to what? And what? Above. How will he do it? Where's the power? At work in us. God is saying that I have a lot of power. And I've subjected that power on your inside. I want to use it to do a lot of things. Somebody will say, how will God use the power? Is it that God will come and fetch the power inside us and use it? No, there's a system, all right, that God created to use this power. It's called the system of faith. Everybody say the system of faith. Hallelujah to Jesus. There's a system. Let's see, for instance, to expound more on what I'm trying to say. Let's see, for instance, 1 John 5 and 1. 1 John 5 and 1. From verse 1, I want us to read. One, two, go. Let's read, church. Everybody, be active. Next part of scripture. Then it says, next part of scripture. We're going somewhere. Alright. Alright, verse 4. Want to go. Now, do you find a connection between what you have been reading and this part of scriptures? You know, one thing you must know is that scripture cannot just come and say an entirely different thing in one verse. I can't be talking and you just speak something and say, I think I get what you are trying to say. If you have not been hearing me, you may not understand what I'm trying to say. There's a great connection between verse 1 to down to this part of scripture. Alright? So God is trying to emphasize through his apostle here, John, that it is possible for Christians to live a holy life. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? And he started by emphasizing, you know, sometimes people think that the love of God is human pity. The love of God is not human pity. Human pity is different from the love of God.
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So they think, for instance, if we sin, God will pity us. No, God loves us. That is why he came for us not to sin. All right?
Yes,
are you people getting what I'm trying to explain?
Yes,
the love of God is not human pity. See, if we sin, God will just pity us and say, hey, yeah, no. That's not how it is. For God so loved the world that is what? Gave his only begotten son. So that whoever believes in him will know what? But what? That's the love there. The love of God will lead you away from sin. It will not sustain you in sin. God's love has come to take you out of sin, not to sustain you in sin. So a lot of people, they are comfortable in sin, thinking that that is God's best for them. You see, God will not kill you when you sin, but God did not die for you to continue in sin. Look at it. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world, all of us, what did he now do? He gave his only begotten son. So that what? When we receive eternal life, we will not what? Perish. Isn't it? Are you guys here tonight? So you see, he died for us to stop sin. Alright? Grace is the end that sin is completely stopped forever. The Bible says the grace of God appeared to what? All men. Teaching them how to what? Sin no. To all form of ungodliness. Are you seeing that? So if you are in sin, God is not like you are an idiot. God will punish you. No, that's not what he's doing. But he's beckoning on you to stop that sin. He's pursuing you, showing you his love. So not so that you think that the love is to sustain you in sin. That's why the Bible says where there is sin, grace abides even more. The grace that is coming even more in your sin is not to keep you in sin, not to say your sin is okay. It is to close the door of sin finally. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Because no matter how dirty you are, what you need is soap and sponge and water and your towel. If you go and bathe and they say you are not smelling fine, where will you go to again? Bathroom. If you come out again, they say you are not smelling fine, where will you go to again? Bathroom. No matter how many times you bathe, they say we are not comfortable with the way you are smelling. Where will you go to again? Bathroom. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So that's why Paul said, where there is sin, grace abides even more. Probably, if you went to the bathroom before initially and you didn't use so much soap, what will you do when you get to the bathroom the next time? Will you use smaller soap? If they say you are not smelling fine, you use more soap. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Or let's use perfume. If you are smelling, you didn't take your bottle, your cloth is smelling, and you have perfume. You know, sometimes you can cover for that. And you'll be smelling nice. And somebody say, but I can still perceive that odor. What will you go and do? You see some people pour it everywhere, even in their ear. Why? Because they want to smell nice. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? That's what it means when the Bible says, where there is sin, grace abides even more. To the end that sin is completely what? So Paul now asks a question because he knows human beings. He said, am I saying, should we continue in sin that grace will abide? Then look at his answer. God forbid. How can us? He's trying to describe a man that has encountered grace now. He said, how can us that are what? Dead to sin. Live in sin any longer. You see, a man that has encountered grace is not someone singing, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You know, just sing those nice songs. You know, I'm not saying it's a demonic song, all right? It's a nice song. You sing it and you just think, that's grace. And sometimes you hear people that claim they understand grace say things like that. See, we're all sinners in this world, though. We're all sinners. Don't be talking like you're a better. In this heavenly race, it's just God. It's just the grace of God. It's just, the grace of God is not a just. It's a focal point. It's bigger than you can imagine. You cannot know grace and continue in your sin. See what the Bible said in Romans 6, for instance. I'll come back here, but let's just rush to Romans 6 and 14. Right? Romans 6, 14. Let's see what the Bible says. It said, for sin shall not have what? Dominion over you. Why? For you are not under the law again, but under what? Grace. Let's have it in the TPT rendition. The TPT. Let's read one to go. Remember this. Sin will not conquer you. For God has. Already has. And some of you, you don't even read the way the Bible is written in scriptures or in a book. Let's read like we know English. One to go. That is why sin will no longer what? Conquer you. Because you are under grace. You see how powerful grace. Grace is not a just. Tell somebody that. We are all sinners. It's just. It's not a just. It's a big deal. In fact, it's the biggest deal. Jesus is a portrait of grace. Grace is not small. The law came through Moses. The Bible said, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You see that? So Jesus is the picture of grace. If a man has encountered grace, he has encountered Jesus. Such a man cannot continue in sin. That's what the Bible is saying right now. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here? So you see the Bible from 1 John 5, go back there, from verse 1, it began to speak about how that God's standard for us is to live above sin. He said, beloved, if you love God, you will not walk in sin. He said, you will not love of walk in sin. He said, this is the love of God, that you will not walk in sin, but keep his commandment. And the Bible now goes further, because God knows how human beings will think. So keep you say we should keep your commandment, but their heart. Then he attacks that mindset immediately. He said, his commandment are not what? Burdensome. Let's have it in the TPT. This part of scriptures in the TPT. I know somebody will say in their heart, if Pastor Simon doesn't do TPT, he has not started. True love for God means obeying his command. And his commands don't weigh us down as heavy burdens. Did you see that now? Let's see it in the Amplify. I like the rendition more in the Amplify. And I want everybody to read. One to go. For the true love of God is this. That we what? You see that? Habitually keep his commandment. And what? Now, and his what? And what? And not what? Do you believe this? This is God telling you that what you have heard, even if it's any preacher that said it before, God said you should trust him, that it's the devil that spoke through that preacher. He said his commandments are not difficult to obey. You know, knowledge creates expectation in our heart. If they tell you Christianity is hard, you will expect it to be hard. But if you know that Christianity is not hard, you will not expect it to be hard. And when you have this expectation that Christianity is hard, you will never live in God's best for your life. And if you always think that Christianity is not hard, it's hard again, Satan will weigh you down easily. You already have an expectation that it's difficult to obey God. Meanwhile, God has said in his word, it is not difficult to obey me. Is it not God that said, my yoke is what? And my burden is what? Meaning when you come to God and he places a responsibility on you, it is not burdensome. It is easy. Tell somebody, serving God is easy. I know you are remembering the songs you've heard. You've heard all the songs that says it is very, very difficult to serve God. Some people sang it as songs and etc. Last Sunday we made one terrible mistake. The choir raised a song that was very, very wrong at the tail of the song. And it was actually my mistake, because I didn't know. I didn't even remember the tail of that song. The song says, from the beginning, very beautiful from the beginning. It may not be easy, but Lord, I keep running to you. It didn't say it is not easy. It may not be easy.
You know, I like it. It makes a lot of sense. Sometimes as you are serving God, you may be thinking it's easy. I mean, you may be thinking it's not easy, even though it's actually easy. So the word made there justifies the song. So when you are finding it as a struggle to serve God, know that God is drawing you somehow in the struggle. Sometimes I get weary, but I know that you are pulling me through by your spirit. Like what happened in the drama today with Abiola. You understand? She was weighed down at some point, but she had this good friend. Oh God, tell somebody a good friend. You see that? There are some of you that your friends are all people that don't have faith. They don't have faith. You see, Pastor Simon, what do you mean by they don't have faith? They don't speak faith. All they talk about is Davido, whiskey. But she had a good friend that knows faith. Oh, glory to God. And insisted, your mother will not die. Ask yourself, the kind of friend I have now, if my mother is sick, will she die? If my mother is sick and my faith is down, will my mother die? Ask yourself sincerely. The kind of friends you keep. Do you have that type that will say, I refuse, stand up, let's pray in the Holy Ghost? Or you have the type that said, brother, see, what will be. And when it happens, you say, make go shark, make you forget this thing. Those ones are not friends, they are demonic agents. Being cascaded as human beings to destroy your destiny. Do you know Satan flows through people? Yes, what did Jesus tell Peter? Get behind me, Satan. If they called Peter Satan, who is that friend? There are some Satan around you. The Lord give you understanding. It's not like the human beings are Satan, but Satan has taken over their being. And he's speaking through them. Have you heard Satan speak through people before? Yes, sir. You hear a guy say, I love you past my mama. That's Satan speaking. Say, I mean, Jesus, so touching. How did you fall to that? Are you here tonight? Yes, sir. You hear somebody saying, Odeba, 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 Odeba. That's Satan speaking through him. Yes, sir. Hear somebody say, my brother, you don't do one thing, fam. How did that one, how does that push your faith? So you come out, when you hear those songs, when they talk to you, you say, fam, brother, fam. You see, fam Diane's. You see, you've been inspired for wrong things. You know, some of you seated here, listen to me, people of God. You are wondering, why have I been in this addiction for long? Why have I been in this wrong character for long? And you are wondering, I don't like it. God, I don't like it, but I'm doing it. That is why your best moment in church is when they say mercy. Then you start crying, mercy, Lord, mercy, mercy. And your best song is, there are things I don't like to do, but I find myself doing them. That's not a worship song. It's a song of frustration. Because you are not worshiping God. You are just speaking your problem. There are things I don't like. Who is asking you? Who are you? What are you doing? But I find my... Who are you talking to? Oh, then you see? Did you see that? Somebody said, but it is in the Bible. Look at the context of it in the Bible. Paul was speaking to a people who live by a wrong ideology. The law. Remember, we just read a part of scripture that said, if you live by the law, you cannot have dominion over sin. It says, sin shall not have dominion against you because you are not under what? But under what? But there were people that were insisting to live by the law. So Paul came to them and said, as long as you are living by the law, sin will have dominion over you. So he was telling them about his life, because Paul, to remember, he was a Pharisee. He was living by the law too. The context of the scripture is in verse 1 of Romans 7. He said, I speak to them that live by the law. He's not speaking to you in Nigeria. You never lived by the law. He said, I speak to them that live by the law. Then he goes further to say, the law is good, but its system is bad. He said, the things I kept and I say I don't want to do, I find myself, what? Doing them. You know, you just keep the law. You say, I don't want to do, I don't want to do. And that is when you find yourself doing it. Remember, the law was not written for the righteous. 1 Timothy, it was written for the unrighteous. To keep them in check. The law was given to the people in the Old Testament, not to make them righteous, but to tell them that, to make them, to notify them when they sin, and to keep them in, not to save them. So you say, for instance, you sin and you go and check the law. You say, oh, Father, have mercy on me. I didn't know that this thing was a sin. And of course, the law was not just subjected to 10. All right? The 10 was the one that the angel gave to him from the mount. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? Somebody say, Pastor Simon, you say the angel. Yes, the angel. Remember, angels were in charge of them. God placed angels in charge of them. Pastor Simon, they say it's God that gave. God placed angels over them. And the angels were ruling them in place of God. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? And of course, the data was limited. Because the Bible said even angels desire to see into the works of salvation that will be revealed through us. The Bible said that in Ephesians 3 and 10, it said, unto principalities and powers has been revealed the manifold wisdom of God as revealed by who? The church. So you see that we are the ones that will reveal things that even angels will see into properly. We filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I know what I just said shocked you, but I'm right. In the TBT rendition, TBT. Everyone, I want you to read. Want to go? The purpose of this was to unveil before every throne. And did you see that? Did he say demonic angelic orders? He said what? Of the and rank of what? Angelic orders, the heavenly realm, God's full and divine wisdom revealed through who? We are the church, and God is using us to reveal things even to angelic. Angels with high ranks and low ranks. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Yes. Pastor Simon, you mean me? A who mean Benue? Ikpayongu, local government. Is who God is using to me? From Zakibiam. Oh, Okpoga. Is me that God is using? Now, you discovered yourself in Okpoga, but you are not from Okpoga. Yes, Pastor Simon, what are you saying? I'm saying the right thing. You are not from Oju more than you are from the kingdom of God. He said, you are in this world, but not of the world. Do you see that now? Do you know in the realm of the spirit, there's no tribe? Our people know they marry with our people. God is like, what a disgrace to my creation. What an insult. That somebody will stand up and say, our people know they marry these people. And God is like, Michael, we're in trouble. What the heck is wrong with these guys? Because he didn't create all those nonsense. You know, tribe, this one, blah, blah, blah. That's the problem. The kingdom is the solution. We've been called out from every people, nation, and what? Kindred. By the precious blood of Jesus. He wiped that mentality off our minds. By his blood. By his finished work. And now we're new creatures. So I'm a new creation. That is why for you to be part of this kingdom, you must be born again. You must remove all of those useless mentality to be born again, to become new completely, like a child. Dump all those useless mentality in the world, else it will affect your identity in this kingdom. That is why some people are in this kingdom and they are sinners because they have not been born again. The word of God has not washed their minds off the things of the world. How do you get born again? Of course, James 1 and 14. Let's see if James 1, 14. Is it 14? 14 or 18? So give me either of them. If we get it, fine. James 1 from 14. That says, we're washed by the... It said, instead, each person's own... Blah, blah, blah. All right, give me verse... check it for me. Some of you that are with your Bibles. Verse 18. Give me verse 18. All right. Let's read together. One to go. God was delighted to give by the word. So that we will what? Fulfill his choosing death. And become what? God was delighted to give us births by the truth of his infallible word. Right now, see it in the NKJV. In the NKJV. Now, relate it with the Amplifier rendition, because this English is too heavy in the TBT. One to read from the NKJV. Let's read from the NKJV. One to go. Of his own way, he what? All right, let's see in the Amplifier. It was of his own will that he what? As what? By the word of truth. You see that? That's how you get born again. The word of truth. You know, the word of truth gets you born again the first moment when you receive Jesus into your heart, but it doesn't stop there. There has to be a mind, continuous mind renewal. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you just say, I'm born again, and you keep, that's why you come to church. That, tell somebody, that's why you must not miss church. Because the Bible calls the church the ground and the pillar of truth. And what does the truth does do to your mind? It gets your mind renewed, like a born again, like a newborn baby. And that way you are part of it. You become part of his kingdom easily. You can operate in his kingdom easily. That's what Jesus said in John 3. He said, you are born again to see the kingdom. You see that? And what did that man of God said, Nicodemus? He said, you mean I should get into my mother's womb? He said, no, that's not what I mean. What I mean is that you are old like this, but you will brainwash you. Tell somebody, I receive the brainwashing of the word of God. Say it with confidence. I receive the brainwashing of the word of God. Yes. Allow the word of God brainwash your mind. Some of us have been brainwashed. That's why we're a trouble to other people. The Bible says it in Romans 12 from verse 2. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Let's see it together. Give me the TPT. I've never seen this in the TPT before. Not the Amplified, please. The TPT. It says, and do not be conformed. Stop limiting the ideas and the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you. You see that?
Yes,
just look at it. It's not that serious that you read. The English is just looking serious, but the understanding is very simple.
Yes,
ideals, you know what it means, right?
Yes,
who says so? Who said yes? Alright, explain to us. Okay, you're responding to the word. Alright. Amen. Who knows what ideas mean? I want to see whether I have this money in this place. Okay. No, I don't have money. Alright, answer, let me see. Do you have money in your pocket? In case she gets it. Huh? Ideas. Ideals. Is she right? Check dictionary. Which one is in this contest? Did you check dictionary? You know, the ideals looks like ideas, but they don't write ideas. They wrote ideals. Ideals. But let me see whether you got it. Wisdom. Okay. What? The right knowledge about something. Can I have a dictionary definition? Let me see who got it now. Dictionary. Don't be scared. Okay. Is it a dictionary definition? Okay, let me hear. A normal thinking. Okay. Now, I want to hear it in dictionary so that I will judge what I have heard. Because me, I don't know what I'm using style. I know it too. Okay, dictionary has come. I wanted to hear our opinion. The person what? Are you sure you checked this thing well? Eh? Stop imitating the ideals. Please, in this context, what does it mean? Okay. Okay, maybe a normal thinking, something that has been a school of thought over time. I think she said so. All of you said so. Bless you. All right. Amen. You are all very intelligent in this church. You say, stop. I just wonder how many people will I give money in this church this morning? What? Sorry. I'll give all of you one day. Eh? Maybe next Sunday, all of you that answer, meet me after church. 1,000. He says, stop imitating the ideals and opinion, normal way of thinking, the regular thinking. For instance, everybody says, body no be firewood. I like that. Okay. You understand what I'm trying to say now? You know this stupid normal thinking, body no be firewood. Weather for two. All hands are not equal. Which one is the smallest one? After all, we are all human beings. If you hear anybody say, after all, we are all human beings, know the next thing he wants to say is weakness. Nobody is perfect. Nobody holy pass. Whether it's Rihanna that said it or Two-Face, we don't care. Whose report shall we believe? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We don't care. Is it stop imitating the ideas? Some new trend just come, everybody will follow. New trends. You know, last Sunday I joked with one fish pie. But that is just somebody's, it's not a trend properly, necessarily. But you know what I mean by trends, right? Let's, for instance, what can we use as trend? Eh? For instance, one time, wake up in the morning and one secular, or should I say worldly singer, she did, I'm not trying to insult the singer. The singer did a 1-2-3-4 challenge. 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8. 2-3-4-5-6-7-8. 3-4-5-6-7. Pastor Sabidi Sino. You know, everywhere on the internet. The next time I saw it, it was pastor's children that were doing it. 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8. 2-3-4-5-6-7-8. The next thing is choir. I just told God, please let TGC not see this thing. You would not do, huh? Thank God. I trust Pastor Ibala. Just that, Pastor Iman, there's a way of China used to give some testimonies. I don't understand. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Some recent trends, like for instance, what other trend we'll talk about now? No grief for anybody, yes. No grief for anybody. That can cause fights. Because if nobody is agreeing for anybody, there's going to be a problem. If in this church now everybody say, no grief for anybody, do you know fight will happen? For instance, we started this year, right? With that statement, no grief for anybody. Do you know the kind of fight that happened in streets, on streets? It started small, everywhere. No, I don't agree, you know. Fight. Then another one came, go. You know what shook me? A woman was singing in a church, in a concert. She said, and do not use, they are trying to use our head. Let's remove the devil away from our life. Hit the devil. Go. Because they just want to use our head. If you want to sing something that is sweeting you, do it. There's no need to lie that you want to hit the devil. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know what struck me the most? She now said, pastor wife is already doing it. Pastor wife is like, copy it. Go. It's a shame. You see what the Bible says about the church? They were supposed to bring a standard. Ephesians 3, we read it now. Even to to angels, to beings in the spirit, we're supposed to bring a standard to them. The Bible says, do you not know that you judge angels? Did you see it in the Bible? He said, don't you know? You know, when I understood the word, I stopped seeing myself as a thief man more than a kingdom man, or an Idoma man, or an Igbo man. No, I'm a kingdom person. I don't allow anything to affect my mind. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That culture thing, no, it's not in me. It's not in me. I can never favor anybody because he's my tribe. More than anybody that deserves it. Pastor Simon, do you mean that? I mean it 100%. 100%. You know, this thing gets even too into church sometimes without you being aware. You go to a certain church, it is a particular tribe. You go to a certain church, if you are not careful, it will enter church. Hallelujah to Jesus. For many years, nobody knew my tribe. Till today, people are arguing my tribe. And of course, I leave them arguing. Because it's not necessary. I'm a man of God. That's just it. Know me like that. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. So stop imitating the ideals. We have learned one new English today. And the opinions
of the culture around you. It's around you. It's around you. Are you listening to me? It's around you. You know, some people, they just wake up early in the morning. I really don't know if that thing, where they got it from. I don't like to make some... Imagine that I wake up in the morning and I'm making a research like this. Where did lecture start from? It's a useless research. There are a lot of things to read in the Bible. Which one is who started lecturing? What's my business with who started lecturing? Or where did he metamorphose from? But you see, some people just wake up. They don't know the history of something. They have put lecturing on their leg. Any trend, they have put it. Anything that comes, they started it. There are people like that. Sometimes these things are very demonic. Very demonic. You know, I asked somebody once, I said, why did you put lecturing? She said, I just like it. I said, that's the reason. Who inspired you? She said, nobody. I said, you are lying. You can never say nobody inspired you. You saw it somewhere and you wore it. You know, I even pity them sometimes when I see them do like that. You know why? You are painting the wrong picture of yourself. You know, some people, some ladies will be like, I don't care. If you don't like me for who I am, forget it. Rubbish. You are just 21. That's why you are ranting like that. You are 21. When you get to 29, you understand. You think a man sees you with lecturing, even the man in the club with you, when he sees you with lecturing, he'll go and marry the one that doesn't have lecturing. You may say there are some men like that. Yeah, there are foolish men that can do that. But there are a lot of wise people. 90% of men will never succumb to that. Let's be realistic. The girls that go to club, how many men in the club marry you? It's the one that didn't know that you go to club that married you. And when they discover you used to go to club, problem will come in the house. The ones you go to the club with will never marry you. They will never try that mistake. Because they know that you are public community. That's what they will think. It's the truth. Are you listening to me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, we're not trying to insult you. But it's just if you are a man, you a woman now. If you are a man and you see a fellow woman in club with lecturing, will you marry that woman? You'll be scared for your life and the life of your children. Imagine you come home one day and you see club in your house. Wife is dancing in a certain way. Children are dancing. Everybody. And they are inhaling shisha. You are like, Jesus Christ, what did I do to myself? Do you know it's very possible? I saw a video. A woman was dancing in a very naughty way. Her son came and slapped her at the back. Pah! And they were laughing. The son was disgusted at the mom. Embarrassed. And he started crying, the boy. He started crying and he ran away from there. Are you listening to me? Don't copy every trend. A lot of demonic things are circulating. Demonically inspired. You ask, you know, you tell somebody, you know, why are you wearing lecturing? I just like it. Why? Give me one reason. Many years ago, I'm not against people that wear bangles or anything, but I just want to use it to teach something. Many years ago, I had these bangles I used to put on my hands. Some of you will not believe it, but it's true. My spiritual father, anytime I come to church, he will cut it. And I'll buy another one. They were cheap. They used to be 50-50 naira or thereabout. I'll buy another one again. Anytime he cuts it, I'll buy another one. We're just dragging. And I had time. He will check my phone every time I come to church, delete worldly songs. When I go back home, data is cheap. It is a lot. I'll buy. And one day, he now called me and sat me down. And he said, why is it that you don't want to change? I said, sir, because I don't think there's anything bad with bangles and, worldly songs in my phone. I said, I just listen to them to get merry sometimes and etc. And he smiled. He laughed. He now said some things. He just tried to explain some scriptures. He didn't really stress himself. He left me. I still wore it the next time I came to church and had the songs, came to church with it. Because he was so nice. He would not shout. He would just be looking at me. He'd be cutting it in a very nice way. Sometimes he would cut it and leave it to hit my arm. Pap! He would still cut it.
And one day I asked myself, because this happened, I was coming to church and I forgot my bangles. And I couldn't go to church. I was more than half to, the distance to the church, you know, from my house. And when I forgot, noticed I forgot my bangles, I started running back home to go and carry my bangles. And when I wore it, I found this piece. So when I was going, and I said to myself, why is it that I couldn't go to church? I was close to church. I could not enter church because I forgot my bangles. I said, something is wrong somewhere. And I removed it from my hands. I said, what is even this thing that I'm getting value from it, feeling important from it, feeling my essence from it? And I said, let me try to cut this thing myself. And I cut the thing. It fell on the ground. I just did my hand like this. I said, I'm free. You know, it's not because that's a demonic. Satan put it and he was putting some demons. I just felt like I was so connected to that thing. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? I was so connected to it that if I don't find those things, some of you seated here, you understand what I'm saying. 100%. If I don't find those things on my hand, I don't feel peace. Hallelujah to Jesus. We've seen people like that. And you know, most of the time you are causing trouble for your life. Because a time will come, age will catch up with you. Men will look at you and turn their faces. So I don't care, must all people marry? In your heart of hearts, you really want to marry. That is why righteousness is the way forward. When you live for God, you are living for yourself too. You are living for your advantage too. Are you listening to me? You are living for your advantage. You are living for your good. You know, some people say, God just wants us ahead some 80s. God just wants us to live for Him. He's greedy. What of for ourselves? Look at it critically. When you live for God, you are living for yourself. If you do not sin, look at all the sin God, all the things God calls sin. If you refuse to do them, do you know it is adding up to your well-being? Look at it critically. Check scriptures. There are some sins in the scriptures and there are some sins in our hearts that God wrote in our hearts. You must understand that not every sin particularly is in the scriptures. For instance, you will not find thou shalt not smoke in the Bible. You know, many years ago, a young man asked me, he said, Pastor, if you can show me where the Bible said we should not smoke Igbo, I will stop. But if you cannot show me, I'll continue smoking. I remember on campus, and I called him. I explained the particular scripture to him. The Bible said when one is... Now, the promise for the new creation is not laws on tablet of stone. It is laws in our heart. The first promise is that I will raise a people. I will create another covenant with them. It said, they will be called my people and I'll be called their God. It said, the least to the highest will know me. Then he said, that way I will put my law in their heart. He said, no one needs to teach them what is wrong from what is what? Right. Because I will put my what? Laws in their heart. So the secret to knowing everything that is seen in the New Testament is not reading the Ten Commandments or reading all the laws of Moses. If you look at the laws of Moses, beyond the Ten Commandments, he had more than 300 laws. He looked at their situation there. He looked at the things happening within their world. And he wrote against the things that he knows and discerned that they were wrong. For instance, how many of you read the Bible in the book of Leviticus 16 and you saw where the Bible said what pertained to a man, a woman should not wear? How many of you have seen it? That is not trouser. If you think it's trouser, it's because you saw it wrongly. It's never going to be trouser. It's never trouser. Because in those days, there was no word trouser. But there was a culture, if you read deeply and you use history to find out, there was a culture they had, an immoral culture. Where if you want to sleep with a man, as a woman, you can just remove your dress and throw on the man's body. And the man will wear it. Yes, there was a culture like that in Egypt. And the Israelites were buying into that culture because they stayed with them as slaves. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? And they, by default, started inculcating the culture of the Egyptians in them. So if you remove your clothes and throw for the man will wear. And that way you have communicated that you want to have something to do with the man. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Something like that. So when Moses heard about, of course he knows the culture, and he observed that that thing has been inculcated in the Israelites, even though they left Egypt, Egypt has not left them. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? So he started doing some, writing some kind of laws to prevent those people from living like the Egyptians. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Another law, do not shave the size of your hair. How many of you have seen that part of scripture? Many years ago, I used to barb one hairstyle that I'll shave the sides of my hair. So a lot of young people in the barracks started copying me. So one time, one young boy, when he did the hair, somebody who was religious called him and said, "You are copying Prophet Simon and shaving the sides of your hair. Look at what the Bible says. Thou shalt not shave the sides of your hair." So he came to me with Gori Makba. Let me call it like that. I said, "Ah, what happened to your hair?" He said, "Sir, I discovered we're in sin." I said, "I don't understand. How are we in sin?" He said, "See what the Bible says, sir." Almost crying that he has been in sin. When I looked at it, he said, "Do you know, in my heart, that's the first time I saw that scripture." Even me, I was like, So when I looked at it, immediately the answer came. I just used my mathematics mind and said, "Of course, this is not for us." So I now went deeper. I went to check history. It was for the Egyptian priests. It was a demonic stuff they used to do. How do you know them? They shave the sides of their hair like pyramid sometimes. I even get what I'm trying to say. So when Moses observed that, he said, "You people who are Israelites should not copy them and do demonic things by shaving the sides of your hair." We did not shave the sides of our hair because we are Egyptian priests. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? We don't have that. We are not even Israelites. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? You know, sometimes when you barb all skin punk, they call it, or Gori Makba, you now think that you are more righteous. It's not true. You know, some people barb like that, and you see them talking about discipline, those in their face. We have to be disciplined and disciplined. Then they'll be looking at some of us that have fine hair, disciplined and not like you. And we're like, we did not sin. I mean, the Jesus you are representing had longer hair than me. The Bible says his hair was as fine and silky as wool. The only way you can get close to his hair, the Lord give you understanding. Very fine human hair, more than Brazilian hair, Jesus had. Read the book of Revelation. Silky, if fan blow it, you just blow the hair. The hair is so nice. Why did Jesus decide to come with hair? I don't know. And I'm not condemning you that don't have hair. I don't know. I'm just saying that. So that doesn't make you a better Christian. For not what? Just flow. That's your style. And God doesn't have a problem with your style. If you don't like earrings, no problem. But don't think that you not wearing earrings makes you better than people that what? Wear earrings. You know, there's some ladies that feel more heavenly. They are in a heavenly journey. Heavenly race. No good. You know, because they don't wear their earrings. And you are wondering, who taught them all of this stuff? You know, there's a popular church that believe in these things. And in fact, they inculcated that character, especially in Africa, Nigeria particularly. They metamorphosed from Nigeria. And one time, the man of God, having observed that this thing has become more than even religion, it is becoming one, a movement, a very terrible movement and a stronghold, the man of God stood up and said he wants to change it. True life story. Some of you read the news. When he dared it, the elders of the church, who are now pillars of the truth in that church, told him, "You dare it, we'll sack you." He just went back and maintain his dual position. Because they dared him that if he tries it, they will sack him. Now imagine people you train for something now like the thing more than you that train them. You see how terrible religion can become. The people that started this wrong movement, some of you are following today, they are dead though. There are some of us alive. Look for instance, Paul, a Pharisee. Paul frontiered the killing of a lot of martyrs. A lot of disciples that died as martyrs. He frontiered the killings. Paul was a young man in his 30s. He was in the front of every killing. He wouldn't hold up. In fact, they killed Stephen. He was there. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? He saw the killing of a lot of them. Yet, Paul did not start that movement, that religious movement. He was just born into the movement. That's how some of us are. We didn't start a movement in a particular denomination. But we carry that movement on our head more than the people that started it. Now, question is, what if that movement is wrong? Have you ever asked yourself? What if it's wrong? Somebody said, how can it be wrong? Did you read your Bible and compare if the Bible agrees with that movement? Or you think you are too small to know? You know, you are not too small to know. Let me show you how. God gave all of us the Holy Spirit. Yourself, why did God give each and every one of us the Holy Spirit? Because God doesn't want you finally to blame anybody for your ignorance. If at the end you feel like a man of God cheated you, God will look at you and laugh at you. Because he gave you the Holy Spirit. And he wants you to think by his Spirit within you. And choose what is right from what is what? Wrong. Are you all listening to me tonight? So your salvation is not at the mercy of any man. That is why nothing is more important than the Bible. There are people that have created certain books. We're talking about spiritual warfare. That are even standing against the Bible right now. The books are now more important than the Bible. I asked someone somewhere. We're talking. I was washing my car. He didn't know. I think he figured out. I don't know if he knows if I'm a pastor. Oh, no, he didn't know. Because they asked me, I said I'm a lawyer or something like that. I had to lie one holy lie. But I told them the truth at the end. That I wanted to know what they are saying. That's why I kept quiet. And while we're talking, I actually didn't say I'm a lawyer. He suggested, you say you look like a law practitioner. I said, yes. And while he was talking, he started, in fact, a lady came for evangelism. The lady was just dressed normal, very decent. But the clothes she wore stopped here. The gown she wore stopped here. So when she sat down and finished talking, and she was just going, the man started looking at me and said, see them, hypocrites, you are coming to evangelize, your hand is showing. I said, which kind of wild is this one? He said, they are hypocrites. How can you be talking to about Jesus and your hand will be showing? You'll be tempting the person. Okay, if you are tempted, just say you are tempted. If you like what you see, just say it. You know, it's rubbish. The Bible says if a man is tempted, he's tempted of what? His own. It's your problem. You know, if we follow like that, ladies will just be wearing burgo. You know what they call burgo? They'll be wearing cardigan and be living their life. There are some people that even if ladies wear cardigan, they'll complain. Why is she looking like this on cardigan? Don't complain. Are you listening to me tonight? And when he complained about that, he started attacking the church. He insulted the Pentecostal church too much. I couldn't bear it. He insulted the only church is so church. He called the church to be the only church. He started insulting every other church. This one is useless. That one, they are thieves. Pastors are big thieves. Are you aware? That one, I could not nod my head again. So I'm like, but why will you call pastors thief? He said, my brother, I know what I'm telling you. There are thieves. There is one that was here. He's a big thief. His wife, the wife of a man, brought seed and so he collected. The man now came and said, he must give him the seed back. I said, did the pastor give the seed back? He said, yes. I said, oh, fine. How is he a thief? You know, of course, I don't even know if things like that happen. But why will you carry money that you did not tell your husband? It's you and your husband's money. And come and sow inside church. You want to kill the church? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You must have an agreement with your husband. Why would you carry money and just come and... Of course. It's wrong. And I'm glad the pastor returned the money to the man. So I now ask him, how is now the pastor a thief? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So he said, why do you reason like this? I said, no, me, I like justice. Even if I'm not a pastor. Let's think. You are so emotional about pastors. You have a personal problem with pastors. We started going deeper. He started unraveling all the problem he had. He started calling pastor's name and calling pastor's name. The next thing he said, they will just be rich anyhow. I said, Should they be poor anyhow? If you have a child that is a pastor, will you wish him poverty? You know, how do you imagine that a pastor will end up poor? Listen, the only reason you may not really walk in riches as a pastor, it is when God calls you to be a missionary pastor. Meaning that you just go for missions. You understand? You will not even still be poor. Because there are certain missions you go for. I know a pastor that was in Naka. He told me that he never used his money to buy anything. He was in Naka. Recently, they posted him to Kaduna from a particular church. He said he didn't use his money to buy anything. That just went there and started preaching morning. He said that's when he knew that Benue State is really the food basket of the nation. Morning, they've knocked his door. Ona, afternoon, ona, evening, ona. Several kind of meats. He said he had to be begging them and fasting. Sometimes he has to lie, he's fasting. that harvest will finish, they will carry yam, come and keep in his front. The front of yams will be heaped like this. He said, Pastor, I used to sell the yams, I send them and I make a lot of money. In a local government. There is no way you will preach this gospel and be broke. Listen to what the Bible said. The disciples wanted to go and preach. And Jesus sent them to a far city. They then told Jesus. They said, Jesus, you know, I'm not saying you should manipulate them. I'm not talking about pastors that are selling the gate pass of heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. Or pastors that are selling the keys of David. Or pastors that are selling the, my goodness, the soap that cleanses sin. Now, those are thieves. In the name of Jesus, they are thieves. We are not part of that movement. I'm talking about somebody that wants to do this thing in spirit and in truth. You can't follow God's path and lose. It may look like you are not winning, but better is the end of a matter than the beginning. We judge from the end as Christians, not from the beginning. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Hallelujah to Jesus. You can serve God and end up poor. He said, if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, what did he say at the end? Every other good thing will be added unto you. It's not possible. Jesus sent the 12, go and preach in a certain place. They said, Master, we don't have anything. Jesus said, go. If you lack anything, come back and tell me. They went just on the word, go. And when they went there, they came back rejoicing. They lacked nothing. Jesus asked them, when I sent you, did you lack anything? They said, no, sir. We lacked nothing. He gave them nothing. They still did not lack anything. The only thing he gave them was the word, go. So it's not possible. And when I was done speaking to the young man, focal point, I asked him a question. He was arguing. I said, which book do you consider most important? Because I used the Bible to convince him. He said, no, according to the second, the council in Rome, second council of the waiting order in Rome, we have agreed and brought a new perspective that, I said, which one is agreed and brought a new? Who are the council in Rome? Now, listen, I don't mean to offend nobody here. But there is no council in Rome or in Italy or in Israel that has the liberty to change what has been written in the Bible. Are you all listening to me tonight? Don't pretend like you are not listening to me. There is no council in Rome, in Italy, in Japan, in the US that can sit down and rewrite the Bible or edit the Bible. No. The word of God is yes and amen. Are you listening to me? Very important. It doesn't matter who the person is, whether Joe beating or beating Joe. We don't care. As long as the Bible says something against you, we stand with God's word. That is why today some of us are saying that we will not join man. We will cast the demons out. No matter what civilization brings, there are some of us standing against it. Because the Bible says, stop imitating ideas and opinions of culture around you. God is the one that is telling the church, be stubborn. When they bring useless culture, refuse it. The government of Nigeria will never start a movement like this. And some of us succumb to it. They did not burn that president well. To start a movement and say, church is joined man and a man. And if you refuse, we'll take you to Kirikiri. If you leave to see the day you take us to Kirikiri, come and take us to Kirikiri. As long as... If you stand on our way, that's the end. You can be doing your foolishness, but don't stand on our way. You can't stand on our way. I was teaching a young man about faith 2 days back. He told me about his mom's situation. She can't walk. She has partial stroke. And I told him, do you know faith works irrespective of you taking permission from God? He said, I don't understand. I said, faith is a system. For instance, if you put fuel in your car and the systems are right, you will own the car without nobody's permission to be moving. Am I saying the right thing? I said, people in scriptures, have you noticed people in scriptures, the woman with the issue of blood, they did not have a written agreement with God before she was healed of her sickness. She said to herself, faith is personal. It was irrespective of your agreement. You don't need to make an agreement with God that you'll be healed. Just have faith in his word that's already in you. The Bible said, if you believe in me, and if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, he said, whatever you ask, you shall receive. You see the system. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you don't need the permission. It will work. She said to herself, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. That's number one. When Jesus turned, oh my goodness, everybody was touching him, but she touched the hem of his garment, and suddenly the power of God oozed out from him. And when he said, who touched me? People were like, a lot of people have been touching you. And Jesus was like, no, I felt virtue. Somebody touched me intentional, beyond normal touch. And when he turned, the woman said, it is me. You see, when faith happens, you just know that you and God just have an idea of what happens. You can be amidst 10 people and something happens and, you know, the power of God breaks out and God will say, who is the person? You will say, I'm the one. You know you caused it. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to explain to you. What I'm trying to say is that in your family right now, it may not be so obvious yet, but some people are already noticing that you are the one keeping the fire, making everybody protected. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And of course, there's another man in scripture, the centurion. He said, Master, I'm not worthy that you come to my house. Just say a word. He understood faith because he was a man of authority. He said, I say to one, go. They go. I say to one, come. He said, you are a man of authority, etc. He said, if you can just sit in your, speak these words. Right now, wherever my servant is, you'll be made whole. Jesus looked at him and Jesus called it great faith. He said, this is great faith. He said, go back. It is done. He went back home. You know, some people will want Jesus to come and meet Lazarus and bring him back to life. Some people can come to Jesus and say, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Just say he'll be healed. He'll be healed. Do you notice something? That Jesus walked according to their faith. He walked according to their faith. If you look at it critically, the first one said to Jesus, he said, Master, Lazarus, he's sick. Jesus delayed. Lazarus died. Of course, the master is never too late. He came back to life. But look at the second person's faith. If you can say, you don't need to come to my house. And Jesus did not argue with both of them. One said, come. He followed them. The other one said, if you can say, like robot, he say. What of you now? The victory that has overcome the world is our faith. Is our faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I say, economy is too hard. How can we get a car? Well, I'm not even eating rice. You are talking about car. Really? Really? We have not eaten rice. You are talking about car. I will get cars. Faith is personal. You get what I'm trying to explain to you, brothers? Faith is personal. Forget what the naysayers are saying. Forget the congregation of people saying all kind of negative stuff. Faith is personal. You can personally touch, just touch him. In this hard economy, everybody's crying, but you came and touched him in this hard economy. He will turn and say, who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me in Nigeria? I felt some billions leave heaven. Who touched me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So the way you have faith for sickness is not the way you have faith for money. Who told you that? Who told you that? Lord, by your stripes I'm healed. You know, I showed you a scripture. What scripture was that? That I showed you about Joshua? Was it Genesis what? Joshua what? I want to get that scripture. I gave you in the leadership conference. Joshua 6:2. Let's see it together. Everyone. See what God says to Joshua. He wanted to give Joshua something and he started by a vision. Yahweh commanded Joshua, see. What was the first word God said to Joshua? See. I have what? It's what? And what? God is telling somebody, it's as if, is it not physically you go and take over? If you want to take over a city, you go and fight war. The person is not going to fight war. God said, I have given the city to you. I have given. So what will you go and do? Faith without work is dead. Go and fight knowing you have already received. Meaning Joshua cannot go for that battle thinking he will fail. That is why you can't start that business thinking you will fail. Because he has said to you, I will bless the works of thy hands. How can you start the business and it fails? I expect only billions and billions and billions. Because he has said to me, I will bless what? The works of. So you see me doing, everybody is selling soap, but there's a way I'm selling soap, knowing that this soap is that everybody has been casting their net. You. Peter, cast your net. He said, Master, we've been doing this thing since morning. It's not like we don't respect your anointing, but this thing is since morning. Cast your net, Peter. He said, okay, at thy word. At thy word. You know, you can have a rhema in the Bible. A logos. And you just be reading the Bible. Alright? But when you catch a revelation from this Bible, it becomes a rhema. God's personal voice to you. For instance, now you are receiving a rhema. God is speaking to you from the word. That you should go back and cast your net. Are you listening to me? Tell somebody, go back and cast your net. I've been doing this thing for many years. Go cast your net. Forget about the many years. There are some of you, there's a job waiting for you. It's your faith that has been limiting you. There's a job. You are weary. You've been trying for years. There's a 500, 700, 1 million naira job waiting for you. Somebody say, in Abuja, in this town. The problem is, have you even tried applying for one? They say, go and apply for a job. You are looking for nanny. You see, nobody asked you to look for nanny. You felt like that's the one you can do. What if you write an application to? Say, do they have NMPC in this town? Say, they have their office. Say, I want to apply for a job. Then I say, are you mad? Is there an NGO that pays so amount in this town? Yes. I want to apply for the job. You? Are you stupid? Mumu, your friends will insult you if you have those kind of friends. But that's part of it. Faith is an adventure. Enjoy it. Go for the best. You've been in this secondary school for many years. They are paying you 50K. We are not saying you don't have passion for children. We know you know love children, that the children already love you. And you people have a connection. I don't want to leave them, Pastor. They love me and I love them too. I love you too. But brother, it's 50K too. I'm not saying run away, but while there, apply for that one of 500. Because that love you are seeing can be an attack from the devil. That love from those children. The Lord give you understanding. They are catching it now. They are catching it. I've seen some of them. My children, my passionate children. You can't eat well. Apply for certain places now. Go and apply. The people that are working there, they don't have two heads. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I was sharing a young man that came and sold seed to me in Dollars recently from Lagos. How we prophetically spoke words from one job to another. And he got a job. He said, I said, how much is your salary? He said, sir, close to a million. I said, what? Every month? He said, yes, with the small tea to reach almost 1 million. I looked at him. I said, really? And I reminded him, he has even forgotten. I said, remember those days you write those things and they will mock you and I'll come and touch you and say you'll make it. He said, I will walk in my millions before 30. He has not reached 30, he's touching the millions already. He said, yeah, Pastor, I remember. The sister will come and laugh at him and hit his head. And the first time I entered his house, I saw the vision. So when I saw the vision, I smiled and looked at him. He said, sir, you want to laugh too, ba? I said, no, I'm not laughing. You will achieve it. He said, sir, you are the first person that told me I will achieve it. I said, you will achieve more than this. This is small. Are you here tonight? He said, see, I've given Jericho. Say, God just told me, Pastor Simon just prophesied to me. He said, I will start working in millions. See me. Tinubu won't finish me. You see? You think Tinubu has that power? You even think he has the power? Nigeria, every time when you see somebody talk like this, they can never walk in the realm of faith. Nigeria is so bad. The economy is so bad. Things are so bad. Business is not. There are some people that cannot even be sincere with their business. It's always dying. They have two customers. They say, have you had the customers this week? No. Even business has been dying. No customer. They don't want to admit that they have two customers. You know why it pains some of us? You are making it look like God is failing. What you are saying, you will see. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, The bones were very dry. When Ezekiel went further, he said it was the Israelite words that made the bones very dry. It was not a literal bone. It was Israel. There was no water, no food, nothing, nothing. Because of the words of their mouth. Things hard, oh. Kai, brother, things no easy. You want to ask people for money, you start lying on the phone. Daddy, I'm not eating for 2 days now. I've been soaking curry. You see? You think in the realm of speaking to daddy, there's no faith there. You just lie for daddy. Speak faith. I was talking to my dad yesterday. She was there. She started laughing. We're just talking. You know, some people have inculcated it in their character. They don't know how to say they are making money. No matter the money they make, they will tell you they are not making money. It has become a religion to them. Whether there is 500 billion, million in their account, my brother, things no easy. It has become normal with them. Me, I know there is money. Saying things are not too easy. It was struggling to say the easy. I said, Daddy, see, things are very easy. You have started this business. This thing is moving. I'm hearing. Michael is telling me everything. In fact, they told me the new. He said, I'm not speaking. I said, you have to be positive. He said, he started on the phone. I'm positive in the name of. You know, I'm the one that trained you to be a pastor. I'm positive. I had to attack him immediately. He started confessing faith. Stop that thing. The van chan, like TV people will say. Things are not okay. Things are not okay. They are okay. The Bible says, all things work together for good. To them that have what? Faith. Even this economy will work for your good. Just tell the Lord to cause your eye to see what to do. And have faith. See, God can speak to you. Do you know you can go and close your eyes now and start praying in the night and God will tell you, go and buy dollars. You must have the impetus to believe what he has said. God, there's 300,000 in my account. Buy dollars with all of it. I'm not saying you should go and buy dollars. I say go and pray. Let God. I'm just giving an example. If you go and buy, you are your own if it's not supposed to be like that. It's an example. Because if you go and buy now, it falls to 1-2. You are your own. So you must go now and go and hear God for yourself. God say buy dollar. There was a time dollar was 700. Mama T told us to buy dollar. In a meeting. I told her, no. You know, human calculation. I said, no. It's church money. Before something will go and happen, will not come and hold me. I beg. Dollar now rose to 1-2. She now said, Pastor Simon, let's still buy. I said, no. That's already rise. What if it falls? I started asking plenty of people. They will say, no, it will not fall down. And I asked one guy, I said, it may fall down. And I heard that one. Because I was with itchy ear, waiting for the person to hear. Till dollar got to 1-7 now. There was a time it was even more. It's coming down. Say dollar is like Gary. When it goes up, it doesn't come down. You can go back home now and God will tell you, go and buy charcoal. See, make research about businesses. Do you know there are certain people that do some kind of business in this city and they are making money? It's not some popular business. It's not cake. It's not everybody that is called to do cake. You just finished BSU, you are a caterer already. Not everybody. Go and hear what God wants you to do. Some of you, God wants you to start this, start that. Go and hear particularly. There are some people that are selling some kind of thing. In fact, there are people making millions with pig in this state. Pig. Some are making millions with charcoal. When it's 1.5, they will buy. In December, it's 6,000 they are selling. Then you'll be saying, Kai, Nigeria is not good. The person is building house. He says, it's not good on my brother. Put that roof there. It's wisdom. God can tell you what to do in that your business now. Stop doing this. You know, I went somewhere to bob my head. The guy was playing worldly song and people were just saying rubbish. And I went after it and I was advising him many years ago. I said, see, if you stop these kind of guys from coming to your shop, you will succeed more. He said, Pastor, this is what people like. Oh, I said, no. Play neutral songs where intelligent people, Christians and other kind of religion can come and sit down and eat without feeling troubled in their mind. Play neutral songs. Said, there are no songs like that. I said, you can play songs about Nigeria. play a song about Nigeria. Go and look for this old, you know, this new school don't know what they're saying. Go and look for old school songs, country songs. Play them. Not that somebody will enter your shop. Imagine somebody like me enter your shop and I'm like, Ozeba, Ozeba, my head is all going boom, 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 boom. Will I come there again? I'm thinking about my life. I enter your shop, boom, 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 boom. They are playing this. Boom, 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 boom. What will I come and do there again? A gentleman just finished a meeting. He's trying to think of what. He's not even a Christian. No. On a good day, that man will listen to that song. But at that moment, he doesn't want to hear something like that. He enters your shop. He's hearing, boom, inside his head, they are playing the song. He will stand up and leave that place. You've lost somebody that would have changed your life. I said, so if you want these street boys, keep on playing these kind of things. Keep on having people smoke in your shop. I said, set a standard. Mighty people will come here. They will come. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Glory to God forevermore. Who told you that Benue State, the business that thrive, let me end with this, must be alcoholic and so, you know, alcohol and yangi. Who told you?
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.